We are two women in academia raising questions and breaking down perceptions from a Black point of view. Welcome to the Black Gaze Podcast.
It's your girl, Dr. Keisha Porcher.
It's your girl, Charmaine Bertrand. Oh, wait, I'm a doctor too.
What's our topic for today, girl?
Girl, today we're going to be talking about sister circles in academia.
All right, but before we get started, as we do every single time we do our podcast, we have to honor the OGs that have taught us about sister circles. And I'm going to talk about my aunt Cheryl Murphy, or Cheryl Woods. May she rest in peace. She actually passed away when I was a grad student at TC. And when I was growing up, actually, I was just talking to my mother about this yesterday. My aunt Cheryl would make me and all my 5'11 cousins, specifically girl cousins, sit in the living room, and she would just have conversations with us about what it meant to be a Woods woman, but most importantly, what it meant to be a Black woman. And when I was growing up, I used to be like, why are we talking about our menstrual cycle? Why are we talking about boys? Like, why are we talking about all of these things? And being 10 and 11 years old, you super irritated, but I didn't even recognize at such a young age, my Aunt Cheryl and my mom and my other aunts were teaching us about how to be in sister circles and conversations that we can have in sister circles. And we had a lot of conversations that were deemed taboo, but with my aunt Cheryl, nothing was off limits. So I just want to say rest in peace and thank you for teaching me like the foundations of sister circles. Who's your OG girl?
First of all, shout out to Aunt Cheryl, honey. That's what's up, honey. Yeah. May she rest in heavenly peace. But no, all jokes aside, I'll shout out my aunties and my mama. When we first, you know, talked about sister circles, it didn't come to me initially like, well, dang, where'd you get this concept from? But I'm going to shout out my mama, Kamala, and my aunties, Antoinette and Wendy, because one thing about them is, yes, they're biological sisters, but they have shown me how to be ride or die. Well, they're not dead, so ride or live. Because, I mean, they're dead. But they have, no, for real. They have shown me, like, them jokers be fighting. Not only do they fight, girl, yeah, they argue. But at the end of the day, they get back together. And they support one another. And if anything ever is to happen, I've seen them pop off on other people. They dangerous. Okay, so like when, no, not in that sense, because let me not say that because I don't want them getting unemployed, but I don't know. But anyway, no, I just want to shout them out because they taught me how to be a sister and how to be loyal and how to value my relationships and my friendships as I grow.
And I think that's so important. I love the fact that you said that they fuss and they fight, but they get back together. Because I think sometimes when we're in friendships or in sister circles, we expect that everything is going to go well, but there are going to be challenges. It's about how we respond to those challenges and how we move on. So thank you. Come on, aunties and mama.
Come on now.
All right. So we can't even get into sister circles in academia until we tell y'all the story about how we came together and how we then created this little sister circle, girl. So I'm going to let this child go first and talk about how we met and how we came to this sister circle. Just know that my story is the truth, but I'm going to let her tell her truth.
I'm going to just go ahead and put it out there because I think that being this is our first podcast, you need to learn whose personality is who and what they're like. Keisha is mad bougie. It's been by the grace of God that I was able to make it this far with her. When I initially met her, I was like, why is she so damn bougie? Like, who created you to be this way? What happened to you in your life? So, I mean, I was, you know, the person that I am. I try to love all Black women, but she was difficult. But, we were in our PhD program together, and I will admit, I probably was on my Drake because I was focused on the PhD program and working full time. So I wasn't really like open to any new friends. So I was on that no new friends, you know, so I really didn't care. And besides, she didn't seem like a person I would mesh with. But over time, we reconnected since I've moved out here into the Midwest, and it has been truly a blessing to call you my friend and to have you as what I would say, what we formed as a sister circle.
So, child, that's her story. But, you know, tell the truth, shame the devil.
You should.
So, we were taking classes together in our PhD program. And you know, I'm not going to elevate their voices or their presence in our podcast, but it was pretty, you know, the program lacked a lot of melanin, right? And so when you walk into the space, you recognize when there's another Black woman there. And so this girl, Dr. Bertrand, she had already created her little sister circle, right? And so, but I'm by myself. So I'm looking at them like, yes, they can be my friends. Like, I am known for like forcing myself upon people, especially when there is a lack of melanin in the room. And so naturally, I just was like, yes, I'm about to approach her and say, you know, we should hang out. We should do work together. Girl, that was a no. I didn't approach this child and was like, you know, I think we should be friends. We should hang out, like do work together. And she was like, I'm good. I mean, we already kind of have our circle. And I ain't even go call out the names of the folks that was like her circle at the time. But I was like, who tells people no, that they can't be, you know, a part of the sister circle, especially when there's not a lot of melanin in the room, you know? So it was real interesting that she would just kind of, you know, push me to the side like that. I got it real clear that she did not want me to be a part of her space. But, you know, when I would see her in class, I would still try to ask her little questions because, you know, I just forced myself on to folks. But, you know, long story short, I can't remember, like, even afterwards, like when we left the PhD program, we still weren't even friends. Like, she still hadn't let me into the circle yet. And so I think that we probably start hitting each other up on social media. And I was like, here's my number, girl. She was like, there's my number. And so when she moved out to the Midwest, even though I wasn't a part of her sister circle, I was super proud of her. And I saw her making moves. And I always wanted to let her know that. And so eventually she kind of just let me in. I mean, who cannot love me, right? So eventually she just let me in and let me become a part of her sister circle. But I think it's important to say that, and we talk about this a lot, is that we probably weren't ready for each other to be friends at that time in life. But, you know, I was ready. She was not ready. I'm going to just say she wasn't ready. But no, seriously, I think that in we grow in grace, right? And I feel like where we are in our lives, when we did connect, it was exactly when we needed to. We both were going through challenges and situations and changes in our lives. And so we were able to show up for each other in a way that we probably would not have been able to in our PhD program. And so we're so excited to share with you all some of the, like, not just why you should have a sister circle in academia, but the importance in the history of sister circles. So I'm going to take us through just a little bit of information, because I think it's important as we go through this process for us to really understand that Black people, we've been doing great things to connect and be a collective for a very long time. And I think that's something that's missing in this, in our experiences, which is why we created the Black Gay. So let me just give you, because, you know, we academics and stuff, and we want y'all to understand that we do know some things. Let us share with you some research about sister circles. So sister circles are support groups that build upon existing friendships, fictive kin networks, and the sense of community found among Black women. Originally embedded in the Black club movement, sister circles have been a vital part of the Black female life for the last 150 years. Girl, can you believe 150 years we've been creating sister circles?
That is bananas.
Yeah, girl, we've been on this, but, you know, we'll talk about that later. Sister circles exist directly in the community and within organizations that are components of women's lives. Many women have ties to these organizations that go back generations. Members often refer to one another as Sister X or Sister Y, building on a sense of collectivism and existing kinship networks. Inherently, sister circles provide Black women with help, support, knowledge, and encouragement. And just although the research say that, I'm going to also indicate love, because I think that's also extremely important.
Absolutely.
So Dr. B, can you give us some information about why it's important to have sister circles in academia?
Yes, I will. But let me just go ahead and acknowledge that the truth is short and lies are long. You told a long lie when you were talking about us, but I'm going to move forward. I'm not going to rest on that, because we're moving forward in the podcast. let's be blessed and move forward. But let me talk about the importance of sister circles, real talk. We can't do this work alone. When you are in the academy, first of all, I want us to acknowledge that the academy was not built for Black folks. So as we are navigating the academy, we're not playing checkers. We're playing a game of chess. It's a strategy to make it through. And you are going to need another person that you can relate to. And who can you relate to better than another Black woman? And I'm not saying that you can't be friends with other people, but there's something about our journey and our connection that makes us connected. And so there, the importance right there lies in the fact that you need somebody that you can vent to. You need somebody where, I know for me, I go into my building and I feel like I code switch. And I know, Keisha, Dr. Porcher, you go through this. You talked about this before when you were on a national syndicated show where you were saying how it's traumatic. And so when I enter into my space, I have to code switch. And that means that I'm not being who I am. So I need that sister circle so that I can be my authentic self. And I'm going to be honest with you, the sister circle sometimes saves me from popping off because I can go to my sister. I can. How many times have I had to Marco Polo you and walk around campus and have a conversation? So it gives you that space where, one, you can be your authentic self. It gives you a space where you can vent. And then it also gives you a space where you know that you're not alone navigating this. And I know there's that saying that, you know, misery loves company. Well, also being Black needs company. Like, you need somebody that you can relate to. And that's what the sister circle is about. And I'm so thankful for the development of this. When I think about Black people and how just amazing we are to even know, when you're given that history, that we need other women to depend upon. We need that. It's just something that's inevitable.
Yes, and I'm going to just take us here for a second because folks ain't ready. And as we go through this podcast, we're going to give you all just a framework of how we think about the Black gaze. But one thing that's extremely important that I think has been lost in our idea of capitalism and individualism is, as Black people, we are a collective people. We love to work together. We love to be in community. We love to collaborate. But this capitalism that we have ascribed to makes us focus on, oh, I'm just going to do me. This is an individual thing. No, this is a collective thing. And if you get caught up in academia, you will create this kind of cutthroat experience where you're like, I'm just trying to get ahead. I don't got time for other folks. Well, no, like, that's just not historically who we are and how we operate with each other. So it's natural. It's in our DNA for us to connect with each other. And I'm sorry, like, when I walk into a space, I just told y'all I wasn't a lot of melanated people when we first met. And so when I walk into a room, I'm already peeping the other folks that look like me in a room, and I'm making eye contact with them. Yeah, I told y'all I'd be pushing myself on people. I'm making eye contact with them like, we friends whether you know it or not, right? We gonna have to be friends. Have you looked around this room? And I think that is extremely important, just being able to connect with somebody that looks like you and have some shared experiences with you, I think is important.
But Keisha, you make me think too, as I'm listening to you, about what part of this, if we go back in history, because some of this be like we're carrying a slave mentality where we can't get more than one person to advance in the academy. So therefore, I don't need to connect with you as a Black woman because you might outdo me. And so I feel like sometimes our minds are programmed to believe that we can't connect and we can't do this together, because if Keisha outdoes me, then that's the issue. You know what I'm saying? Like, they only going to take one Black person and promote them. And that's not the case, my friends. You are not going to be able to advance without the support of one another. You have to, what do they call it? Lift as you climb. That's what you're going to have to do. And I think that's where the sister circle comes in. Who can strategize better than two people?
I think also too, and I think this idea of capitalism also keeps us in a space of scarcity. And I'm going to straight go to church on folks, but I believe in a space of abundance. Listen, listen, God created enough for all of us. So when I see my Black sister winning, I'm like, hey girl, you better win in a system that wasn't built for you, right? But what we have been taught to do is that if somebody else is winning, then we're like, oh shoot. you know, if they win and I gotta outdo them. No, there is enough space, enough blessings in the storehouse for us all. And I think when we can naturally and authentically celebrate one another, when we see each other winning, like it's on an, I remember, like it's, it just takes us to another level. We open up the door for us to be able to receive blessings when we can really be like, you know what? I'm super proud of you. Cause listen, you better know every time you're doing something, I'm like, this my girl. She just had an interview. Y'all need to check it out. This her article. I'm using it in my class. I don't care if it don't got nothing to do with the content.
Okay, we was, you better rap.
We using it. Okay, I went there.
Calm down. Somebody get the preacher some water. Calm down.
Listen, get the preacher some water. But I think it's extremely important. I think we have like been sucked into this idea that there's not enough, right? There is enough for every single person to win. And we definitely have to be intentional about celebrating each other when we're winning, as opposed to trying to tear each other down and trying to be one up on somebody.
I think not only is there enough blessings for everybody, but there's enough work, Keisha. Until when we're talking about the Black gaze, we don't even look at schools through that lens. Blackness is not centered. So therefore, there's enough work for all of us to continue to do. Like, we don't even have to fight, because you in your lane, I'm in my lane. We both study teacher education, but even the lens that we use is so different as we do this work. So I think that, yes, there's enough for everybody to work, but then there's also enough for everybody to come up off of. Like, we can all win. The work is not stopping. It's not ceasing.
But listen, I'm going to insert a quarter in a meter and park right there.
Go ahead, park
How
right here.
How about, it's 400 years of slavery, honey. It's so much work to do in the Black community. And I'm sorry, not one person can dismantle 400 years. We need each other. We all got to do this work. So, honey, listen, put your clothes on, put your armor on, and get in the fight. It's enough for everybody, right? And the more, and honestly, even to think even bigger, this work ain't even about you. Purpose ain't about you anyway. So if we're all doing this work collectively, we're opening up the door to bless somebody else for the generations that's going to come behind us. So it's not so, that's why we honor the OGs at the beginning, because they paved the way for us to be able to do this work around sister circles and many other things that we do. But I just want to let folks know that it's so much work to do, especially in the Black community, that we need all hands on deck.
And you know what? I'm going to go ahead and shout you out. It was a little psychotic how you was persistent, but I'm going to go ahead and shout you out. Your persistence. Yo, that was crazy, though, for real. Like,
yeah,
you,
listen,
like, you
she
going
to try
friend.
To do me on this podcast? Okay,
like,
go.
Whatever. But anyway, I think that we have to be persistent, because some people don't get it. And it, to be honest, you're trying to tell the story like I just didn't want to be bothered. And maybe I didn't, but...
Tell the truth, shame the devil.
The way she told it, y'all, is just over the top. But anyway, but here's the thing. We have to be open in the steps that, you know, we have to be open to our circle. And you give people a try. I know all skin folk ain't kin folk, but you got to give folk a try first. You know what I'm saying? And I should have been a little bit more, I guess, open to you and just appreciate your bouginess. Yeah, but you was over the top, though. The Bible says, I believe the Bible says,
turning
the
corner.
You got to show yourself friendly.
Now she preaching. Now she preaching.
Don't do that.
She done brought the Bible in.
We have to shut your mouth. But we got to know, for real, I think that we have to be open. When Black women come into the academy, you have to reach out. You have to, you know, let them know, look, this is the rules to this game here at this institution, because every institution has its own rules. We're having
hold
a,
on, child. Now
hired.
you moving on into our advice for the Black women creating sister circles in academia.
Oh!
Hold up. I'm gonna pause her for a second. So we can't end this podcast without providing advice. So we talked about the importance. We talked about the history of sister circle. We talked about how we became a sister circle and why it's important to have it, but we can't leave this podcast without providing some advice for Black women for creating sister circles. So, Dr. B, sorry for cutting you off, but you said when you come into the academy.
So, when you come into the academy, you need to make sure that you extend a welcome to that sister that's coming in, because you have to understand, too, the way that you learn the game, you need to share it with her. You need to let her know how to navigate. And another thing that you also need to do is you need to make sure that you set them up to be successful. If you've been in the academy for more than a semester, you got enough capital to help that person and come set them capital up. Now, you ain't got to be an expert at the game, but you know a little bit where you can be like, okay, that colleague right there, they crazy. This is how you get through the tenure and promotion process. This is just little simple stuff. This is how you order books. This is how you get the classroom that you need. It's simple things, but these are things that are beneficial for their success. And so we have to learn how to, when you see a sister, help a sister, regardless. Absolutely. And even if they acting mad bougie, like Keisha was acting, open yourself up.
Let me also say this. This is what Black people be afraid of. And this is why we're talking about the Black gays, because we got to free ourselves, y'all. The thing is, I've heard people say when we come into the faculty meeting, like, I'm not sitting over here. It's too many Black people sitting over here. I mean, I'm just saying the non-melanated folks are sitting together. I think we have to let that go of being like, I don't want people to see me with another Black person. Honey, listen. We have to focus on the Black gays. If sitting next to a Black person in the faculty meeting helps calm your anxiety, help you to be present, feel like you're in solidarity with someone, that's who you should be sitting next to. You should not be concerned. Listen, if they are concerned about who you sitting next to, honey, they need to be free too. Okay? But I think that we also get caught up in that idea that when people come in, we're not like, we should take them under our wing because it happens for them too. And I think we have to be intentional about that too. So that was my, advice. But you have some more advice. Can you tell us?
Well, no, I was just sitting here thinking about that because I'm going to be honest and true. Do you know what? This right here feels like a freeing place for me. I'm going to be transparent. I used to go into meetings. And I would be like, oh, I'm not going to sit right there near my Black colleague because that is too many. But then when I think about it, it's about three of us in our department and it's 44 other people who are not Black. They don't think like that. So why do I think like that? So from now on, let me say I've been broke the system. Girl, I'll go in there and it's like all the Black folks sitting together. We doing a Beverly Tatum. While all the Black kids sitting in the cafeteria.
Sitting together in the cafeteria. yes.
Because I'm tired of thinking from, again, that white gaze mentality. Like, oh, well, we can't all sit together because that's going to be an issue. No, boo-boo. When I enter a space, I'm going to sit where I'm comfortable. And I'm comfortable around my people.
And you know what? I'm going to share this story, and I'm sure she won't mind. I cannot remember where I was, but I'm going to bring up Dr. Bettina Love and Dr. Dillard, and I believe they're at UGA. I can't remember where I heard Bettina talk about this, but she said when she first came to UGA, she was a tenure track professor, and Dr. Dillard would meet with her once a week, and they would have dinner together. And I'm not talking about bring your styrofoam plates, honey. No. Real plates, real forks, a tablecloth, and they would sit down and have dinner. She could never cancel. It was a requirement. It was their way of building community. And I thought about that, and I had to say to myself, I'm like, hold up. That's next level, because you know I'm extra, so I could see myself, you know, creating that space. You know me.
Yeah, you're extra.
But how intentional we are should we be about when another Black woman or a Black person in general comes to academia, and especially in our department, how intentional are we about making sure, you know what, me and you got a date. I don't care if you sitting down just to cry with me. I don't care if you don't have any words. If you just asking me, how do I work Canvas? Whatever it is, that time should be intentional. And how do we ensure that? I don't care who's looking. I don't care what anybody else has to say. This is Dr. Porcher and Dr. Bertrand's time because you deserve to be here. Your ancestors paved your way to be here. And it's my responsibility because I've already made it to the other side to make sure you get to the other side.
That's deep. Let me find out you deep. Yo, that was so bad. Because you know what you said? It's my responsibility. And what about, hold up, as I'm listening to this, what if we all did that? That would break this chain or this cycle of, oh, I'm not talking to her because she bougie. Like that would break that. What if it was all of our responsibility that when you see a Black woman, you mentor them? you connect with them. Even like you said, if it's just a place to vent and be your true self, where you could just break all your verbs and just be who you want to be.
Because I be breaking all the verbs.
Well, I do that regardless. But like, I think that that is, it's our responsibility, Keisha. It's our responsibility, Dr. P.
Dr. P. Okay, so I think that's a great way to just end our advice and just to sum it all up, that when another Black woman or Black person in general comes into the space and we have already made it to some modicum, like Dr. B said, I don't care if you've been here for a semester, you got some type of capital. It is our responsibility, our collective responsibility, to ensure that that woman or that man makes it to the other side. I love that. I love that.
I love it.
And so, as we prepare to close out our podcast for today, focused on Sister Circles and Academia, Dr. B, what you reading though? I think this work is so important because we be out here, you know, shining, but I think that we only become better writers and better scholars if we reading something. So what you reading though? What you reading
right
now? Listen,
what am I reading though? Okay, so here's the thing. I got a little issue, and maybe other people can relate to this. I don't know how to finish a book. So let me tell you.
Oh, Lord.
Your girl will open a book and won't finish that joint. But let me tell you, I've had some crazy experiences with in the last couple of weeks involving white women. And so I have decided to pick up Robin DiAngelo's White Fragility because I'm trying to get a hold and an understanding of what in the hell is going on with y'all. So I actually picked it up. I'm reading it. And I'm trying to use that as part of a framework that I'm trying to develop and then put into a manuscript. Come on. Because you know what? Let me add this though. A lot of times they want you to publish or perish. They want you to write. You cannot pour out from an empty cup. You are going to have to read to put some information in you. You are going to have to pick up a book. One of the things that I also want to say about this segment too, what you're reading though, is that you need, I know Robin DiAngelo is a white woman, but at least she's getting all her white people. But you need to pick up books from scholars that are Black, because we're doing some work out here. But let me ask you, Dr. Portia, what you reading though?
So listen, I've been telling you about this book for a while. I'm still reading and like mulling and celebrating Dr. Goldie Muhammad's Cultivating Genius and Equity Framework for Culturally and Historically Responsive Literacy. And let me tell you why it's taking me so much time is because I have made a commitment. And I think this kind of goes back to my experiences in undergrad and really understanding who we are and where we come from and what we have contributed to this country, but also to the academic field. And the one thing that I love about this book is that she really goes back to when we had Black literacy clubs. And even though I went to a historically Black college, I didn't know that. And so I think I'm so enamored by that because we don't really talk, when we talk about Black and brown children and Black and brown experiences, we always focus in on the deficits. But reading this book, you can't do nothing but help elevate the assets. And it's just a consistent reminder that don't nothing, you know, going back to Toni Morrison's work and Playing in the Dark, nothing in this country exists without the presence of Blackness. Nothing, right? Whether we want to acknowledge it or not. And so reading this book, and I'm taking my time because there are certain things that I'm reading up on and I'm like, hold up, I gotta go back and find this somewhere because it's just blessing me that much. And so when I'm having conversations with my pre-service teachers and they can't seem to look at the assets, they can tell me everything that's going wrong in the Black and brown community and with Black and brown children, but now I have something where I can say, well, did you know that we've been making, like, we have a definition of literacy, but do you know Black people have been making definitions of literacy way before y'all was even giving us the opportunity to read? Like, we always making something out of nothing. Don't get me started. But yeah, that's what I'm reading right now, child.
Girl, you about to make me order this joint immediately.
Girl, you better order it. Okay, so to close out our podcast and just elevate the idea of the Black gaze, we want to shout out people that we see doing this Sister Circle work. I see you. So can you tell me who you see out here that's out here doing this Sister Circle work that you want to elevate before we close out the podcast?
Yo, I'm going to shout out today. It's funny because I'm going to go back to GMU. where you was acting all bougie. I'm going to shout out my homie, Dr. Tiffany Mitchell Patterson.
Come because on, Tiff.
She has helped me in this sister circle thing since the beginning of the PhD program.
When she not won't let that, me in, she, though. But go ahead.
Anyway, it's my moment. She has, you know what I'm saying? She's just been like one of my number one fans throughout this process. I could do little stuff. Yo, she'll post it all on social media or shout me out. And then I would say, since I've been in the Midwest, I live in West Bubbleville, okay? Ain't nothing here but corn. And I'm going to shout out the sister circle that I have formed here, and that would be Takesha, Sabrina, and Kimberly. Y'all have held me down in the middle of nowhere, so I just want to give y'all a big shout out today. Thank y'all for just helping me become who I am as a woman. So I appreciate you.
Come on, as a
who
woman.
You got? Who you got? Who? Listen, I see you.
I got
who you got?
Two groups. I got two groups. First of all, you know, I would like to say that Spelman College is one of the birthplaces of Sister Circles, but I would,
say
that I want to shout out my Spelman Sisters class of 2008. We are also known as BIBs, girl. That's something that we have to talk about offline. But I just want to
shout out. Yeah, I don't even know what this is.
I just want to
shout out. I can only imagine what these B's are. let me, I don't know.
We can talk about that on the podcast. But let me shout them out.
Let me shout them out.
Kanisha, who I call Kanisha Beesh. Tracy, who we call Malacy. Sarah, who we call Swooty. Kimberly, who I call Floyd. That's a whole... What's up, Floyd? I also want to shout out McAllister. She's our doctor in the group, and we call her Mac. Ania, who we call Brewster. Don't kill me, y'all. Did I forget anybody? So, yeah, that's the Spelman B.I.B. Group. If I forgot somebody, charge it to... I don't think I forgot anybody. And then the last sister circle, just because I talked about her book, that I want to shout out that I'm not a part of, but it's just been a blessing to watch. It's just a sister circle between Goldie Muhammad and Yolanda Seeley Ruiz, also known as Yoli. They're best friends, but I've just watched the ways in which they cultivate each other. I remember when Yoli's book came, I mean, not Yoli, but Goldie's book came out at NCTE last November, and the way Yoli was there, like rooting for her, helping organize things, helping getting things together, like you could tell she was proud of her and she wanted all of us to celebrate her. So I want to elevate that sister circle and say, I see you.
I see you.
All right. So it's your girl, Dr. Porcher.
It's your girl, Dr. Bertrand.
Thank you for tuning into the
Black Days Podcast.
Take good care. We out.
This is a Pain Artistry.